think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It's Final Four Friday on Yahoo Sports Radio. And this special Final Four edition, thanks to Mahindra, our official Final Four sponsor here at Yahoo Sports Radio, and Blue Emu, no more pain, present a special edition of Yahoo Sports Radio live from the Final Four in Houston. Getting you ready for Final Four Friday night. Live from the owner's house, the owner of Yahoo Sports Radio, Stingley Cow Manor. Alyssa Walker-Campbell, Big E, and Dylan Gwynn bring you the sights and sounds of our Yahoo Sports Radio Final Four Friday Night Party. Now from Stingley Cow Manor in Houston, site of tomorrow's Final Four. With Big E, here is Dylan Gwynn.
Oh, you know what that music means. Oh, yes. It is Final Four time in H-Town, and we are coming to you live. Who is we? It's me. It's the Big E. And we're getting started off here in championship style with Mr. Robert Horry, as well as we come to you from Mr. Gow's house, Gow Plaza, Gow Manor, whatever he wants to call it. It's pretty nice and pretty much the most happening spot in H-Town right now. And we welcome you all aboard to our coverage as we get you ready for the Final Four. And we welcome Robert Horry to the show right now. Houston Rockets, Lakers, Spurs. Who else did you win championships with? Come on. There's so many teams.
That was it. That was enough, wasn't it?
You definitely did work. You definitely did work. The man has a ring for every day of the week and brought none of them with him. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll go Google them. That's as close as we're going to get to them anyway. But we really thank you for being here. And we want to talk to you about what you're doing tomorrow. First of all, great event. From 11 until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 11 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Walmart store on South Rice Avenue, the Celebrity Sweat 3-Point Shootout.
Yes.
You're going to be demonstrating how it's done, right, to everybody out there.
I'm going to demonstrate how it's done, but I'm going to let someone else just try to win it because, you know, I got to give everybody – somebody else a chance to, you know, win some rings, win some championships, you know, get some accolades.
Right. You've got enough accolades, Robert. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Give somebody else a chance. It's going to be a great event. 2 hours tomorrow at the Walmart store on South Rice Avenue here in Houston. The tournament is free for everybody to come out, get some pictures, autographs with Robert.
Yeah, celebrity sweat, you know. It's going to be fun. And the thing is, this is how I get everybody to come out. The prizes.
There are prizes.
We're going to give away some prizes.
Not rings. Are we getting rings?
Not rings. No, we can't get rings. Hey, but if I'm looking at Big E, I might want to give her a ring.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. You have to get in line, all right?
Well, you've got plenty of them. What, you've got seven, a total of seven NBA championships. Yes. That's incredible. In fact, seven-time NBA championship, and you've been on championship teams before, so you know what they look like. When you look at this Final Four, Villanova, Oklahoma, Syracuse, North Carolina, is there one in particular that stands out that you really feel can win it all?
You know, I've been watching a lot of Buddy Hield, and I've been watching his game. If he can stay hot like he is right now, it's hard to beat a player when he's hot. Like, reminds me of that time when Danny Manning took over.
Mm-hmm. In 88, yeah.
But then I look at what Villanova's doing. Man, they have a solid defense. They have a really solid core, and they have a very versatile guy. I don't know what their name is, number three. The big guy who can post up and shoot threes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, and I look at them. I get a chance to see them because I'm on the West Coast a lot and the East Coast team. But as I watch them throughout the tournament, I'm like, man, they play solid. They never get rocked. But, you know, everybody in the country is probably picking North Carolina to win it. I just think if they have to go up against Villanova, I think Villanova is strong enough, but they're going to probably, you know, hand them their loss.
So So how do you craft a defense to slow down Buddy Hield? Because he has been, as you're saying, he's been on fire, and he's averaging 29 points per game in the tournament.
What you have to do is you have to find a guy on your team that's fast enough to get in front of him and say, you are playing Buddy. All the other principles we taught you through the season, throw him out the window. Wherever he goes, you go, and you don't let him catch the ball. I said, you got to throw out that's what you have to do, throw out all the defensive principles, because a lot say, oh, we're going to force him this way, that way. No, you just don't let him catch the ball.
So. You've got to shadow him, and you can't help off on weak side defense, right?
Exactly.
Well, one of the big things that Jay Wright talked about in the build-up to the Final Four and Villanova's whole philosophy coming in, I mean, remember, they were like a four seed in their own conference tournament. I mean, they were not a well-regarded team except by reputation alone with, you know, Raleigh Mansueto and everything that goes into that. They wanted to muddy it up. They wanted to make it ugly.
Yes.
Is there an inherent advantage? Because Buddy Hield has to stay hot in order for Oklahoma to win. It's very hard to stay hot for as long as he has been hot. Do teams that just need to make it nasty and dirty have an inherent advantage at a late stage one game elimination like this, do you think?
Yeah, because it can frustrate guys. But I don't know, the thing about it is, Buddy's not a rookie. He's, what, 23 years old? So I don't think you can frustrate him. But the other guys on the team, you might be able to. And that's what teams do. They remind me of the old Utah Jazz teams. Oh, they're going to beat you up.
Right.
They're going to execute you to death. Mm-hmm. And it's going to wait their turn till you make a mistake. And next thing they're looking at the clock and the scoreboard, they're winning. And that's the type of team Villanova is. And they're very smart. They're very crafty. And they if you're a basketball fan from the old school, you like watching Villanova play.
You just got to hope that Buddy Hield isn't Michael Jordan, right?
That's right. Or Steph Curry.
That's
what you want to worry about. Yeah.
By the way, though, is that the comparison you make when you watch Buddy Hield's game?
No.
No?
Steph Curry is on a whole nother level.
So who does he remind you of?
You know, he reminds me of Ray Allen.
Okay.
You know, he kind of, you know, a guy that, you know, if you look at Ray Allen's game, he'll shoot the lights out. He's going to put it on the floor every once in a while. He's not one of these guys like Kobe, Steph, who's going to put it on the ground and create their own shot. But if you let him come off that pick, he can shoot it. You give him like two or three dribbles, he can shoot it. So when I look at him, he reminds me of Ray Allen a lot. But
so how do you see his game translating to the next level in the NBA? They're talking about how his stock has really taken it to another level because he came back for his senior year.
Yes. I think it's risen a lot. You know, the craziest thing I ever heard one analyst say was that, he's too old. I'm like, too old?
He's too old.
Because, you know, and that's the mentality. Okay. They're thinking now, you've got to be one and done at 19, 20 years old to be the top five picks. I'm like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. But I watch Buddy, and I think what GMs around the league are going to look at is his maturity. Mm-hmm. Because you see what the incident that will happen out in L.A. You see stuff that's going on in Philly with the fight. And Buddy carries a maturity that a lot of NBA teams want. You think about it, you put a guy like that on a team like that needs him, like Sacramento.
Right.
You know, he's going to bring a maturity to that team. Even though he's going to be a rookie, he's not going to fall into that mold of doing silly stuff like a lot of these 19 and 20-year-olds will do. So I find him going to a team, he's going to bring a lot of maturity and a lot of savvy. And, you know, and we use this word on my on the show I do called veteranism. It's not really made up, you know.
Yeah.
It's veteranism. So he's going to be a veteran. Even though he's a rookie, he's going to be smart and play like a vet.
And the other thing, too, is that he wants the rock in his hand when that clock is winding down. I mean, you're one of the all-time clutch performers of all time.
Yeah.
So, and that's that maturity that you're talking
about.
That's
the maturity. And that's, you know, the willingness to go out there and work. And the other thing is his teammates know that he's put in the work and the time, and he knows he's going to come through for them. So they believe in him. And once your teammates believe in you, and you believe in yourself, you know, the world is your oyster.
We're talking with the great Robert Horry here on Yahoo Sports Radio, getting you ready for the Final Four. Robert, you know, it's often said that the NBA is a player's game, whereas college basketball is more of a coach's game. And that's a lot. I don't know if that's true. I didn't play either. So that's why I'm talking to you. But that's what people say.
Yes.
When you look at a team like Syracuse, which was, I mean, honestly, hot garbage for a lot of the season. I'm not going to mince words.
Easy.
They weren't good. You know, and all of a sudden, here they are in the Final Four. How big of an impact does a guy like Jim Boeheim have in that whole? His team is not very talented, but they're here. How big of an impact does that guy like Boeheim have?
But when you have a coach like Boeheim, who has the pedigree that he has, and the guys get to believe it in this system, all you got to do is go out and beat one team you shouldn't beat, and all of a sudden you believe it. You know, confidence is the biggest factor in college basketball. Mm. When you going out there and playing with all that kind of confidence and playing that kind of zone that makes guys go crazy like Syracuse does, and you just sitting back and saying, wow, I'm believing in coach's system. Mm-hmm. Now I'm believing in myself. Now I'm believing in everything can go right. And when you believe that, a lot of great things can happen. Another thing that's benefiting Syracuse is they know they're not supposed to be there.
Right.
So they're playing carefree. They don't care.
No pressure.
I'm taking the shots. And now you look up at North Carolina, they're going in this, you know, good thing they had a week to prepare. And we know they can prepare like the best schools out there.
No doubt.
But other than that, I'd have been worried for them if this was only like a one-day turnaround. Because Syracuse can, like you said earlier, can muck up some things, and they play with a lot of confidence.
Not to digress, but I want to ask about your alma mater, the University of Alabama, your proud Crimson Tide, the fact that they made it to the NIT. They lost to Creighton 72-54, but finished 18-15 overall. And I had an opportunity to talk to head coach Avery Johnson, and the mantra this season was buckle up. And it really seems like he's ready to take that program to national prominence.
You know, I talked to Avery. My son just graduated from there, and I was back at Bama a lot. And we have a chance to talk. I've been knowing Avery since 1990.
Oh, my.
You know, Avery used to come back with Derek McKee and play with us in the lower gym at Alabama. So I've been knowing Avery a long time.
Uh-huh.
And so I told him, I said, I'm glad he's there. I'm going to do my best to try to help him in any way to get recruits there and things of that nature. So I think Avery's going to take us back to the place where we want to be, back in the NCAA, not the NIT, which means not in tournament when Whip Patterson was there.
Make so Alabama a balanced program again. The basketball team just as good as the football team, right?
that's another planet right there.
Final Four Friday night, and we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Be sure to get our new mobile app and never miss a moment. Plus all the podcasts at podcastarena.com. Once again, with Big E, here's Dylan Quinn.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Dylan Quinn and the Big E. You can hear her Friday night, 7 to 9, here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We are here in David Gao's house. He's our boss. Our boss invited us over to his house and served us lots of food and drink, and we're very grateful to him for that. We're even more grateful to him for inviting Coach Blaine Taylor and Jim Herrick along and to sit with us. We could label this segment Coach Speak, and I think that would be a very, very good name for it. We're thrilled to have you both here as we get everybody ready for the Final Four. It's very exciting stuff. Just a question to throw out to the both of you here before we get going. You guys both have been coaches in NCAA for a very long time, seen the generational shift over the years from player to player. What is different about players in this year's Final Four in your mind as opposed to your eras when you were coaches?
Well, this is probably the first year in a long time we've seen a bunch of seniors stay in school. Buddy Hyde stayed, Perry Ellis stayed, the two seat guards at Oklahoma have stayed. Syracuse has a senior. North Carolina has Bryce Johnson and Paige. So you can go through and see some senior. But before that, it wasn't like that.
Right.
And every young guy that I've ever coached, they want to win. They want to be well coached. They want to be treated fairly. But they want so much success too quickly. You know, when Blaine and I started coaching, freshmen were ineligible. And that was one, you know, I always said it was one of the first mistakes we make was making freshmen eligible. Because now it speeds up the process. And then the one and done has just leapfrogged the process where I always tell a joke at all the banquets I speak at. It's really not a joke. The player thinks he's Michael Jordan.
Yes.
But the parents think he's better. And it's just that way. Now, you're going to see them change the rule this year where anybody can try out. You can try out and go back to school. Well, you're going to see 100 guys sign up.
I'm trying out.
There's your opportunity.
I'm going to try out.
Exactly.
Me and Dylan are in.
Dust off the old sweats. Yeah.
Those Converse, right?
If you don't get invited to the pre-draft camp, they're only going to invite 60 because they can only draft 60. So if you don't get invited to pre-draft camp, you got almost no chance to be drafted. And one more thing, it's just the player movement. there might be 300 kids transferring right now.
Yeah.
It's just crazy what's going on.
I would concur. When I first started, you had these dynasty teams where these guys played together, and they were household names by the time they became juniors and seniors. You saw some fabulous talent. You saw fabulous teams. Then we went through this trough where all the best players left early, so the quality of play diminished, but those star players would bring you home to a championship, perhaps. Now I think what we're going to see in this Final Four is a really high level of basketball. You've got veteran teams. They've been together for a while. Every coach that is here has had a team in the Final Four. Of course, Jim won the national championship. So you've got the quality of coaching, the quality of rosters that have been together for a long time. We are in an age of entitlement. Kids want it now. They want it fast. If they don't get it, you know, they change stations quickly,
right,
and go to the other network. And that's kind of a sad fact. I don't think we're ever going to fix that. I think we can kind of shut some doors and open some doors, try to make the game better, protect people's rights, but also hold them to their word and make them get a degree and stay somewhere. So, but the winners are all of us to tomorrow night. These four teams, boy, they're playing some basketball. I've enjoyed this tournament game to game with the right games as much as any.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I got a chance. I went to Spokane and watched those games. Went to Anaheim and watched Buddy Holly 37 on Oregon. Yeah. But Oklahoma beat Villanova by 25 points in November. And to see them come back around and be the kind of team that they've greatly improved. They're shooting the ball with great confidence. But I just think they've got – Oklahoma's got a difference maker. Buddy Howell's a difference maker.
In that particular game, I think Jim makes a good point. Who's progress to today, to tomorrow?
Yes.
And two of the best games that I saw all year was when Oklahoma played at Kansas. And Buddy went crazy in three overtimes, as Jim's pointing up to me. I thought he was saying I was laying three on the green. Part three. Part three, Blaine. You've already hit it three times.
Do coaches ever stop giving hand signals? All right.
He just called my play for me. Okay. As you go forward into the tournament, one of my favorite games was Villanova beating Kansas. That's how far Villanova has come to where they now align. And I think Villanova is playing as good a basketball as any of the four teams. I think the most outstanding player, of course, is Buddy Hield on the other side of the issue. That's what makes it really entertaining.
Has Villanova progressed the most defensively from you're talking about that game back in December when they lost by 23 points?
I think so, Elisa. I think everybody is getting better if they end up at the Final Four, but they have the way they're shooting the ball is one thing. When the two games ago, they shot like 60% from the floor. They're going to have to do that with Buddy. But their defensive growth, as you say, Elisa, how do you stop Hield and all the other guys? They're probably going to have as good an offensive and defensive game. But their growth in that area, Jay Wright, I mean, you could talk about each of these coaches all night. Jay has done a fabulous job with his program, fabulous job with his personnel. But their growth defensively will be challenged by Buddy Hield and the rest of the band.
I talked to Lon Kruger a while ago today. I ran into him. We were talking about the game. He said that Villanova just didn't shoot very well in that game. Where they're shooting well now. But conversely, I want to see how Villanova is going to defend them.
Yeah.
I went to Anaheim and watched the Texas A&M. And Texas A&M just blindly guarded him, almost a box and chase, but they were man-to-man. They fronted him. They wouldn't tried not to let him catch the ball. But what that did was almost play 4-on-4, and the other guys got great shots. So they had about four or five guys in double figures, and Buddy got maybe 17. Then Oregon comes out, and they just played him straight up man-to-man, and he laid a clinic on him. Boy, he laid 37 on him, and they stopped him at 25. He moved to 30. They stopped him at 30. He moved to 35 feet. I mean, he was – and I'd seen him all year long on television, but now I'm sitting in the second row – and you see how quick he is. He is so quick, he's almost unguardable. Plus, he's got the three-point shot. He's got a jab, fake, pump, fake, one bounce, pull up, medium range game, and he's got a drive to the basket. Then becomes hard to guard. No, he's almost no impossible to guard.
And how he's progressed from his freshman year. He was averaging under 8 points per game, and now in the regular season was 25. And as you're talking about, Coach, he's lighting it up in the tournament, 29 points per game, just to see how he has evolved as a player and really embraced Coach Lon Kruger's system.
You know why Oklahoma's here? Because he came back to school.
That's right.
We've only got about a minute left here, or less than that, before the break. Real quick, do you think what Buddy Hield did in coming back, that might encourage others who are on that borderline of making that decision?
I hope he's the poster child for staying in school.
Well, kids come back, and it doesn't go well. We're looking out. Everybody's going to run for the hills. So now a guy does come back. Hopefully he'll be a template. He'll be a poster child, as Jim says. He's one of those guys.
Final Four Friday night, and we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Be sure to get our new mobile app and never miss a moment. Plus all the podcasts at podcastarena.com. Once again, with Big E, here's Dylan Quinn.
That is right. It is I, the Big E, and Charles Robinson, and about 200 or so of our closest friends in what I'm pretty sure is the most packed house on Sunset Boulevard in Houston, Texas, as we get ready for the Final Four. We welcome you all aboard to that. And as mentioned, yes, Charles Robinson, senior NFL and investigative reporter for Yahoo Sports, also man of all trades, a renaissance man, really, as he covers the Final Four here with us as well. And welcome aboard to you, Charles.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You've been to five of these things. You were saying before the break. The energy level, excitement level of this one in this town, I think, is pretty good. Are they normally like this? How does this energy level compare to most other places you've covered?
Yeah, I think it's comparable. The great thing about Houston is that it's a little more eclectic than a lot of the cities that host Final Fours. It was funny, I saw Jay Billis last night. I was out at dinner, and everybody who comes into Houston always comments on how, there's no zoning here, so everyone's like, we go to this great restaurant. There's like a warehouse next door that is actually a bar. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's fantastic. You could open a still in your backyard and it would be no problem.
No doubt about it.
Well, what do you think is the biggest storyline going into this particular Final Four? You were talking about so many in the past that you've covered.
I think Jim Boeheim. I think it's because he's done such a magnificent job in this tournament in particular. I think a lot of the talk about Boeheim this season, it was sort of, he's at that age now where you're like, how much longer is Jim going to go? How is he going to retire? And I think that's the big question now is, with this success, he's recruiting really well. How can Jim Boeheim leave Syracuse behind? And can you imagine Syracuse without Jim Boeheim? And, the zone, the way that they have played in this tournament, I will say this, I think this college basketball season was set up for Jim Boeheim and Syracuse, because you had no dominant team this year. Different teams were number one this year? And my Spartans went to Michigan State.
Oh, they broke my heart. They broke my bracket.
Oh, they just it's funny because my girlfriend, she actually picked them to win it. And when they lost, I was sad, but I was doubly sad because I had to hear from her for days that it was my fault, that if she wasn't with me, she never would have picked Michigan State. So
not to heap salt in the wound or backtrack too far here, Charles, but do you believe, and I heard Seth Davis arguing this, and I thought persuasively, that was probably the biggest upset of all time. Michigan State was essentially the fifth one seed.
Yeah.
You had Middle Tennessee, who had not beaten anybody. Middle Tennessee had lost by double digits to the equivalent of Division II basketball teams here. And then all of a sudden to have that happen to Tom Izzo in that situation, do you buy into that?
When the loss initially happened, I thought, I like their style of play so well, I thought, they're going to win a couple of games. Michigan State's going to feel better about themselves after they see this team make it to the Sweet 16. And then they just got destroyed by Syracuse. So I think I would agree with Seth Davis. I do. Yeah. Even though I went to Michigan State, I don't think there's any doubt. I think it was the worst loss in tournament history. And, from seeing Michigan State all season long, though, I never fully trusted them, only because I didn't think they were as tough as Tom Izzo teams usually are. And, they just, that first half, I thought, if this team's hitting shots, they're hustling, and they were just tougher than Michigan State. I thought, if this, the first 10 minutes of that second half, if it's like this, if it's like it was in the first half, Michigan State's not going to win this game, and that's exactly what happened.
What's your takeaways on Denzel Vant one time winning the National Player of the Year? Do you think he deserved it over Buddy Hield?
You know, I like Buddy a lot. I really do. It's too bad that, you know, they kind of split those awards when you look, what, there's, you know, 9, 10 of the awards, and I think it kind of went six and four or whatever. You know, I want to give it to Denzel because his game is more versatile. You know, Buddy, you take away the three-point shot and you force him to create, and, you know, I just don't think he's as much of a facilitator as maybe Denzel Valentine is. And the truth was, when he played at his best for Michigan State, I didn't think they were a beatable team. And I tend to always tilt kind of toward guys who can do a lot of different things, you know, who are more versatile in the college game than maybe just scorers and three-point shooters. But I love Buddy's game. And to me, if they win, you know, the title, that's Buddy carrying them all the way.
We're talking with Charles Robinson. He's a senior NFL investigative reporter for Yahoo. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Charles Robinson. And speaking of the NFL, turn it here locally for a second. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, getting ready for the Final Four. And, you know, the Brock Osweiler move. A lot of people thought that there was no way Denver was going to match whatever Houston or anybody else offered for Brock Osweiler. Right. Then we get the story that there was, like, some deep, you know, feelings, you know, some emotions there with the way the Peyton Manning situation went down and everything there. Was Elway just a kind of, not aloof, but unaware maybe of how Brock Osweiler, how miffed he was at the way that situation was handled? Did he maybe not pay attention to it the way it was? Because it seemed like they wanted to keep him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they realized they were dealing with somebody who felt scorned.
I think it was something that started, you know, I think the Broncos are waiting, you know, for Peyton to make his decision. And because Osweiler and Peyton are both rep by the same agency, it's kind of like, you know, we can't go to Brock and put a deal on the table because Peyton's going to find out about it. Then it becomes we pushed him out. And so I think Elway, maybe there was a little bit of arrogance there where Elway thought he'll wait. You know, Brock will wait and we'll get this done. He knows that he's in our plans. And I think they also thought he'll take a little less money to return here because we just won a Super Bowl. We got a great defense. It really set up for him. And, you know, I think that, you know, he just missed that, Osweiler, the benching did impact him. You know, having to go back and see how Peyton Manning played and win the Super Bowl and thinking and believing, as he should, I could have done that. I could have been the Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, why was I pulled out of that situation when I had that opportunity? I didn't feel like I should have been. And then, you know, having to wait on Peyton a second time to make that decision, I think, upset him. And but then I think at the end there, it was arrogance. I think John Elway is sitting there going, you know what, I won two Super Bowls in Denver. I've won a Super Bowl as a general manager. I'm as iconic in this town as I can be.
Right.
And I think he thought Brock would take a little less money and wait, and, you know, that was a huge miscalculation.
Do you think he's the long-term answer for the Texans? Is he the guy that can take them to the promised land?
They're paying him like
cash. Yeah, I mean, $37 million guaranteed?
Yeah. I mean, look, hey, you know, anytime you give a quarterback, you know, what, $18 million in you know, average per year, and like as you said, the $37 million guaranteed, that is a close to a top 10.
It's a franchise,
you know,
deal.
It's a franchise deal. It's right there. And so to me, you know, what's interesting is Denver looked at him and said, 2 years. We're gonna offer you a deal that ultimately it's going to be sort of a show-me deal. We'll give you a two-year deal. And Houston, it was, you know, we're just going to pay you now. You don't got to show us anything. You're our guy. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, look, his development in Denver, I thought he showed some promising things. I think, you know, Bill O'Brien, having seen him up close in the joint practices in 2014 was a big deal. And I will say this. It was the best option on the table, clearly, for the Houston Texans. There's no doubt.
Do you believe Colin Kaepernick will be a Denver Bronco? He can still be dealt despite the guarantee.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The problem with this is, you know, Denver wants him to adjust the salary. He doesn't want to because he looks at the deals that other quarterbacks have signed elsewhere this offseason, including, you know, backups.
Yeah.
And he says, no, if I'm going to be your starter, this is what I should be paid anyway. And
he got benched for Blaine Gabbert,
He did. And, you know, let me tell you, I will say this. I know for a fact the Broncos, doing their due diligence, found a lot of things to question about Colin Kaepernick. I mean, there were problems in the locker room for Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco that were pretty significant with teammates. And I think that worries you a little bit. And I think that's also why, though, Denver wants him to come in on an adjusted salary that really is going to be a one-year kind of look. And if you do well, we'll go back to the table. We'll start to guarantee some of that money later on.
A prove it deal.
Right, exactly.
What about RG3 going to the Cleveland Browns?
He had no other options. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, he entered free agency, and his top 6-7 list, the Browns weren't on it. And, you know, but all those other options either turned their back on him, didn't call. So, I mean, he was even, you know, interested in going to Arizona as a backup so that he could learn from Bruce Arians. Mm-hmm. They re-signed Drew Stanton. Never even thought about RG3. You know, so I think that, you know, part of that was just no options on the table.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL investigative reporter for Yahoo Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter, won't you please, at Charles Robinson. We've got Warren Moon coming up next. Charles, thanks so much for the time. Awesome hanging out with you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Final Four Friday night, and we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Be sure to get our new mobile app and never miss a moment. Plus all the podcasts at podcastarena.com. Once again, with Big E, here's Dylan Quinn.
Back, everybody, it is Yahoo Sports Radio and our presentation from Mr. Gow's house here in Houston. Dylan Quinn and the Big E, and Warren Moon joins us right here as we get you ready for Final Four action here in Houston. Warren, you have on your Twitter description, Hall of Fame quarterback, Warren Moon, because when you're in the Hall of Fame, that's all you really have to say about yourself.
That's your new title.
What else do you say?
It goes along with your name. Every time you're introduced anywhere now, that comes along with it. My signature is that way, except for on checks. But you know what? But when I grow up, I want to have a house like this. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I, too, want to grow up to be like Mr. Gow.
Yeah, I would love to be Mr. Gow.
This is a special thing. Well, also on your Twitter, you have a picture of you and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And he's one of the more dynamic, unbelievable players I've ever seen at the NFL level or any level of any sport ever. And looking at this tournament, watching the players who are out there, is there anybody else who reminds you of a similar kind of player as Russell in the sense he's able to create on his own, able to adapt his game to pressure, to that kind of environment? Do you see that kind of player out there when you look in this tournament?
In the basketball tournament,
yeah.
You say. You know, I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't see.
And I'm not surprised.
I don't see a player like him. Maybe Buddy Hield, because he's a guy that can really create his own shot because of his extensive range. You know, his range is probably 35 feet and in. You know, he has such great range, and then he's done a better job this year. One of the reasons he went back to school is to create his game off the dribble. So he's a lot better off the dribble and finishing at the hoop. So he's probably a guy that's probably most closest to being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. How closely do you follow college basketball?
I follow it pretty closely. It's hard to follow all the teams, but I'm definitely a West Coast guy because I live on the West, so I follow the Pac-12. And
what happened with the Pac-12, Ward? What's going on out there?
You know, it was considered one of the better conferences coming into the tournament, and then they just nosedived the first weekend. And that's what was going to happen in this tournament because everybody was so equal. There was so much parity in this tournament. That's why I didn't fill out a bracket this year because it was just so hard to figure out where all the upsets were going to come from. In that first weekend, everybody started falling. You know, Kansas was one of my favorites, and Michigan State was one of my favorites. Kansas goes out the first weekend. So, and I've always rooted for Duke in the tournament because I love Coach K, and they went a little bit further than I thought they were for the youth of their basketball team. Excuse me, but I love this tournament because it was so unpredictable coming in, and you look at the finals now, you do have a number one seed in there, but you have two number twos, and then you have a number 10. Syracuse is a team that really came on at the right time.
No question about it. When you were a player, you were part of a game that was notorious for an incredible comeback. You weren't on the right side of it, but it was notorious for an incredible comeback in the Bills in the playoffs when you were with the Houston Oilers. When you were watching Syracuse and Virginia, and you had, you know, Virginia up, what was it, 15 or 16,
16.
Points with 5 minutes left or just under 5 minutes left in the game. Any of that ever come back to you? Were you at any moment like, oh, my God, we're going to see one of the great
whenever
comebacks?
I watch a comeback in anything, I always think about
the thing
that happened with us.
No. Wow.
What was the game where the team lost within the last 12 seconds?
Texas A&M. Yeah,
Texas A&M. That was an unbelievable comeback.
I mean, they
right
won.
There.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, they ended up coming back and winning that game. And, you know, you look at games in the NFL, you've seen the same thing. Comebacks where teams come back from 17, 20 points, and I'm waiting for somebody to come back from 28 points so they can beat our record.
Well, it really shows you, it demonstrates the power of momentum. And
yes.
Once that's in your, you know.
And once you get it, it's hard to get it back. And we had it in our football game at the beginning, and once we lost it, we could never get it back, especially being on the road.
We're here with the great Warren Moon in Houston at Mr. Gow's house. Yahoo Sports Radio bringing our Final Four presentation to you. Dylan Gwynn, the Big E, and Warren Moon. And Warren, going back to the NFL here for a second, you're inducted in the Hall of Fame, the first African-American quarterback in the Hall of Fame. Cam Newton looks like he is ready to climb that mountain, not just because Tom Brady and guys like him are getting old, but because he is so incredibly good. Your reaction after the Super Bowl to his comments, when he obviously was very emotional, testy. We know now that there was a Bronco player chirping off in the corner, and that's probably why he got angry. But what were your thoughts in that moment when Cam had just had that very disappointing loss and he was venting and frustrated? What was going through your mind?
I tried to feel his frustration, but I also understand that as a quarterback, you're the representative and the spokesperson of your football team. You represent not only your team, you represent your organization, you represent your fan base. And I just thought he could have handled that a little bit better than he did, because other quarterbacks have had to go through that same situation. You look the year before, Russell Wilson loses, where he throws an interception on the last play of the game to lose the football game, yet he got in front of that media and answered every question, did it in a way that was classy, that represented his team well. And that's the way you're supposed to do it as a quarterback. That's just part of the job of being a quarterback in the National Football League. I thought Cam could have done a better job, even though he was devastated.
You know, you talk about Cam Newton, but I want to transition a bit. Talk to me about Peyton Manning, watching that retirement speech, you know, after 18 seasons. What kind of emotions were going through you when you watched that? Because I know you can identify, and just you have to wonder what the transition is going to be like for
him
now.
Well, it was just so vintage Peyton, just to be able to have that. Such a prepared speech that left out nothing and no one. He, just like his career, was so thoroughly done. His speech was thoroughly done, and it had a lot of emotion to it. But the thing I liked is he didn't leave out anything or anybody, and did the same thing when he went to Indianapolis and had a retirement there as well. And, you know, Peyton has really set himself up well for after football, so I don't think he has to worry about it. He'll have many, many different choices of what he wants to do. It's just up to him what he wants to do. And I know he's had a lot of time to think about it, but still, until you retire and until you get out there in the world, you really don't know exactly what you want to do. So hopefully he'll take some time before he dives into the next endeavor.
Warren Moon, thank you so much for taking some time out for us here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thank you.
More coming up after this.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.